Matthew chapter 7, we'll read the first 11 verses of these words that are part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And the text that we will consider tonight are the instruction of Jesus, encouraging us to pray, found in verses 7 through 11. Matthew chapter 7, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." And now the text we consider tonight. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Thus far we read the Word of God tonight, considering verses 7 through 11 as the text. Sunday evening, I believe it was, one of my children asked me, when the subject of coming together for worship tonight came up, "Why do we as a church get together for worship for prayer day?" And in explanation of that question, that child explained, "I understand Thanksgiving. We come together for worship after the harvest in order to thank God for the harvest and for our daily bread. But what's the purpose of prayer day?" And I answered her, and for the sake, perhaps, of some of the children tonight, it may be helpful to explain that answer. And the answer is yes, that is absolutely correct, that after the harvest towards the end of the year, the church comes together for worship to thank God for the harvest, for daily bread, for food and drink, and for all of the things that we need for our life here on this earth. Now think about the time of the year when we gather together for prayer day. It's before the planting of the crops. The church gets together before the farmers go into their fields to plant their crops in order to confess that she depends upon God. We come together tonight to say we are not going to put our trust in the farmers. We're not going to put our trust in all of the equipment that they have nowadays, the tractors and the combines and all of the other equipment that they have. We're not going to put our trust in the grocery stores or in the cupboards of food where we still have plenty of food to eat. But we come together as a church on prayer day in order to confess we depend upon God in the coming year for all of the material things that we need: food and drink, physical health, and physical safety. And so, one of the purposes of prayer day is to encourage us to pray, to express our dependence upon God daily, regularly, throughout every day as part of our life as the people of God. I didn't research this, and I don't have research to prove this, but I suspect that the church, in appointing a day for the observance of Prayer Day, saw this as a need for the people of God, because prayer is an area of our spiritual life where we as the people of God often struggle and often maybe even fall into many weaknesses. And that's certainly the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ in the text that we consider tonight, where he gives a command, and in that command is giving encouragement to the disciples and to all of the citizens of his kingdom to pray. Jesus, in chapter 6, actually already spoke once about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. He gave what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer there, explaining to the citizens of his kingdom, you have access to God, the King of the kingdom of heaven. And here's the way to go to him. This is the way to approach him in prayer. And one might think that that would be enough for Jesus, simply to say to the members of the king, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, God, the King of heaven, has all of the blessings of heaven at his access, and as your God and Father says to you, you may have them. Now come to me in prayer. Here's the way to do that, and in that way I'm going to give them to you. And you would think that all of the members of the congregation and all of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, hearing about what a privilege and a blessing they have in prayer, a gift they have in prayer, would be lined up daily, ready constantly to march into God's throne room and his palace, as it were, and to appeal to him, Lord, here's all my needs. Thou hast called me to come to thee. Thou hast promised to give me whatever I need. And knowing that thou art God, that thou art rich, that thou art loving, here I am in prayer. But no, Jesus knows us and the citizens of his kingdom so well. How many of you tonight wouldn't admit, I do need encouragement to pray more sincerely, to pray more humbly, to pray more with the consciousness of my need and my dependence upon God, to pray more trusting in God, in his love, and in his bounty to provide for me. Jesus knows too often there are many reasons why we are not busy in our life as his citizens in prayer. Too often, pride gets in the way. Pride in which we simply don't want to get down on our knees and admit we need God. Sometimes it's plain laziness, spiritual laziness. Sometimes Jesus speaks of this in chapter 6, it's worldly-mindedness. We as the citizens of the kingdom of heaven are so busy thinking that we're citizens of this world, laying up treasures for ourselves here on this earth, that we don't bother with seeking God and the things of the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes there are the twisted theological reasons and the twisted theological thinking that runs through our heads that prevents us from being busy in prayer. Maybe it's the thought, I'm not worthy, and God is so holy. How could I ever think to go to the majesty of God in heaven in prayer? Or maybe we think we don't need to bother God with our prayers. He knows our needs. He knows them better than we do. And then thinking that we don't go to him in prayer. Well, here is Jesus Christ, God's Son, and under him the king of the kingdom, saying, I have a very plain and a very simple command that cuts through all of that. You ask, and don't stop at asking, you seek. And don't stop at seeking, you knock. That's the command that encourages us to pray. And then the other part of the text that we will consider tonight is the promise that encourages us to pray too. And so let us consider tonight asking, seeking, and knocking. Noticing in the first place the command that encourages us to pray. And then secondly, the promise that encourages us to pray. Asking, seeking, knocking, the encouraging command and the encouraging promise. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to clear away all of the difficulties that might arise in our thinking that makes it so complicated for us in our life as Christians simply to go to God in prayer, depending upon Him. And He does that by comparing us to little children. He speaks in verses 9 and 10 of an earthly father with an earthly son going to that father asking him for the things that he needs. And so, that's simply what we need to do tonight. Think of the little children and think of those who maybe aren't so little who yet still express every day their dependence upon dad and mom. At least in my house, that's what is heard most of all. It's, Mom! Mom! Mom, I have a question. Mom, I have a need, and I'm going to go to you to ask you to help me with the thing that I need. Mom, I want something to eat. Mom, I need to know what to wear. Mom, can you help me with this problem that I have in my homework? Or can you help me with this problem I'm having with my brother or my sister? And then you see that little child isn't too embarrassed. That little child doesn't come up with reasons not to go to mom. That's just the natural reaction. Mom! Well, what if mom isn't there? That's where seeking comes in. I'm going to go find her. And I'm going to call out to mom, even if she's in another room, even if she's busy with something else. I'm not going to give any thought to what mom is doing. Mom, I need your help. And what if mom is in another room and the door is closed? Sometimes, to the frustration of the mother and the father, that doesn't stop the children. It's knock, knock, knock. Mom, I need your help. Mom, I have something that I need to ask you. Mom, help me. Well, Jesus is saying to us very simply, so that no one in the congregation can miss that, this is how you are to think of your relationship to God. Think of yourselves as children who depend upon Him. Jesus is speaking of an earthly father who, when his son asks him, knows how to help his son. And Jesus is saying, now it doesn't matter who you are in my kingdom. It doesn't matter if you're an elderly person in your 80s. It doesn't matter if you are an adult in your 30s or if you are a teenager or a young child. This is you in your relationship to God. Jesus is driving home this point. Never, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, forget how dependent you are on God. Nothing, remember, is ours. Everything comes from God. And when you think of your dependency upon God, think of the smallest little child. It would even be appropriate tonight, wouldn't it, for us to think of ourselves as infants, completely helpless, dependent in every way upon mom and dad. That's our relationship to God. And so, There is no hint here of prayer as something that God needs so that he may know what we need, so that we can inform him of what's going on in our lives. Nor is there any hint here that Jesus is saying this is the nature of prayer, that God is the kind of father or the kind of mother that you need to inform of your needs and that you need to be persistent with, because after all, he's not so ready to give you what you need. And it's only after you storm heaven with your requests, and it's only after you seek after that thing over and over again and knock and are persistent, that God will finally give in and say, fine, you can have what you want. Sometimes dads and moms are that way. But Jesus' point is that this is all about you. This is all about you recognizing your need and your relationship to God. And the trouble is not that God isn't willing, but sometimes Jesus is saying, in order to show you your need and to make sure you really understand your need, God does require that you ask, and then that you keep seeking, and then that you come and you knock persistently, recognizing you really have a need. That's the idea of these words here, isn't it? Asking, that's the activity of saying, I don't have what I need, and I'm not self-sufficient. I can't supply it for myself. I need to go seek someone else out and ask them what I need. And then the idea of knocking, too, is that there's a deep understanding of my need. My need is great. And if you don't help me, you don't give me what I need, I'm done for. Now, sometimes the children, in behaving that way towards their parents, are exaggerating. But Jesus is teaching us that's not an exaggeration. That's real for us in our relationship with God. We depend upon him for everything, and without him, we have nothing. And so, what we need to do on a daily basis, Jesus is saying, is think about all of the things we depend on God for. And then see all of those things as that's a reason for prayer. That's a reason for going to God. Do you acknowledge that tonight? Did you acknowledge that today? Did you acknowledge that today and throughout this week by prayer? That all of your material needs come from God. It's so easy for us to fall into unbelief, and let's understand that tonight. That's what it is. It's unbelief. It's unbelief that says, it's really me and my work. It's because of my good management skills that my business is successful. It's because I am such a careful budgeter of my money that I have enough money to cover my bills and enough to put into a savings account. And it's unbelief that says, I have food in my cupboards and food in my refrigerator because of my work and my work ethic. And then, too, when it comes to health, it's unbelief that doesn't depend upon God, but says it's because of my efforts and watching my diet and exercise. Jesus is saying, no, you need every day to recognize you depend upon God for all those things. And those are reasons to pray. But there are even more important things than these that we need from God. And we must not understand that when Jesus talks about a son asking for bread and for a fish, that Jesus is now saying, this is why you need to go to the Father. And this is what you really need to be persistent in prayer for. The things of this earth, the material things that you need. No, in Matthew 6, just before this, Jesus has said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness." Jesus isn't encouraging his citizens in his kingdom to set their hearts upon the things of this earth and to be persistent in prayer for those things. But this is all said in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus explains the righteousness of his kingdom and the life that the citizens of his kingdom must live. And Jesus says, the standard for you is that you, as citizens of my kingdom, must have a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes. This is important for you, Jesus is teaching, that you live here in this world as citizens of my kingdom, letting your light shine before men. And that calling is very high indeed. Read the Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, this is what's to characterize you as a citizen in my kingdom. You are to be poor in spirit. You are to be humble spiritually. You are to confess your sins before God. You are to mourn over your sins. And then Jesus says, and it's not only important that you live a certain way in your relationship with God as a citizen of my kingdom, but it's important that you love the neighbor too. It's important that you be meek. That means that you're able to suffer hurts, wrongs from other people and not strike back at them. And then Jesus in the rest of the sermon talks about how you're to treat the neighbor very carefully. You're not to murder your neighbor. That means you don't murder him with a gun or a knife, but you don't murder him with your heart or your mind either. And you're not to commit adultery against your neighbor. That means that you not only don't do that physically, but that you don't do that from the heart. You don't lust after the neighbor. You love the neighbor with your heart. And Jesus' point is this. Living as a citizen of my kingdom isn't a matter of outwardly serving me, but it's a matter of the heart loving me and the neighbor. And then here in the immediate context, when he talks about judging, he's talking about how important it is that you not be judgmental towards your neighbor, thinking the neighbor quickly is worse than you. But it's important that you see the beam, the sin in your own life, and then know how to remove that from your own life. And then when you turn to the neighbor, that you deal with the neighbor very carefully. And so what Jesus is talking about here is, generally, how you and I need to aim for a very high standard of righteousness in our daily lives. He's saying to you men, you need to be men of God. As single men, as husbands, as teenagers, as young children, and you women, you need to be women of God too. As married women, as single women, as young women, and children. And this is hard. It's impossible. You can't do it in your own strength. You need to pray, to seek the grace of God. Asking, seeking, knocking persistently. Are you doing that? Is that important to you in your life? Jesus is saying, God commands you. Go to him. He has what you need. Material things and grace for your life here upon these earth, on this earth. He encourages us with the command. He also encourages us with the promise. We read of that promise in verses 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then that promise is explained very beautifully by Jesus in verses 9, 10, and 11. And what Jesus is explaining is, you have the right to claim the blessings of God. What he says in verses 9 and 11, Jesus does not say lightly. First of all, in 9 and 10, hinting by means of an analogy at our relationship with God, that he is our Father, and that we have the right as children to go to him in prayer. But then in verse 11, stating it outrightly, calling God your Father which is in heaven. In chapter 5, Jesus speaks of the fact that God, as the ruler over all men, causes it to rain on all men and causes the sun to shine on all men. But Jesus does not call God the Father of all men. Here in this verse, he is referring to Jesus as the Father of the citizens of his kingdom. He's teaching us, think of yourselves as children, as dependent, but then also as having the right of children to ask and to claim the promises and the blessings of God. How do you view your children, you earthly fathers, especially, and mothers? Don't you, being evil, recognize the right of your children to come to you and ask you for bread? And you don't give them stones, you give them bread. And you recognize the right of them to ask you for fish. And you don't give them a poisonous snake, you give them fish. Well, now he's saying, this is what you can expect as children of your Heavenly Father. You have the right to go to him in prayer. The horror of what the Scriptures teach us is that by nature, God is not our Father. But now this is the beauty of the gospel that Jesus comes to proclaim in his earthly ministry and on the Sermon on the Mount. I've come to deliver you, to bring you into my kingdom, to make you the children of God. By nature, the devil is your father, and he is the worst father that anyone can have. And it's not because he's a father who gives those who ask for bread stones, and because he gives those who ask for fish a poisonous snake. It's because the devil brings to all of those who follow him spiritual ruin and destruction. Oh, he appears to be an angel of light. He comes to us and tempts us and says, I'm really looking out for your good. If you follow me, it will be for your good. But in the end, he's only selfish. He doesn't deliver anything that he promises. He only brings death and destruction. And now Jesus is saying, you've been delivered from that as a citizen of my kingdom. I've redeemed you. I have brought you the forgiveness of sins. And now God is your Father. And he's your Heavenly Father. There's two things that Jesus is emphasizing here. You may have earthly fathers. First of all, who are evil, who don't love you with a constant, perfect love. And now the mothers and the fathers can think about that themselves, and the children can probably testify of that in the congregation too. There are times when mom isn't so kind, or dad. And we mothers and fathers have to admit sometimes that our response to our children and their requests is frustration and anger and maybe even cruelty. Jesus is assuring us, don't be afraid. And not because you know you're unworthy and a sinner, that your Father is ever going to respond to you, I'm frustrated, I'm tired of you, I don't want to hear it now. Because if he has given you this good thing, his only begotten Son. Then hear Jesus say in Romans 8, won't he also give you all things? You don't have any reason to be frightened of him. You don't have any reason to use that as an excuse not to pray. He's demonstrated his love. But then the other thing that Jesus is teaching is his power. Sometimes an earthly father and mother has to say, it's not a matter of desire, son. It's a matter of ability. I don't have what you ask. I can't give it you. Not our Father who is in heaven. Therefore, those who ask are given. Those who seek find. And those who knock, to them the door is opened. There are some in this world who never ask, and they receive nothing from God. Now that might not appear to be true to you from an outward point of view, and you may be thinking tonight, but aren't there people who never ask in prayer who have not only what they need, but more than us? More money and riches, bigger homes, more luxuries. Yes. Yes, but remember, they're not citizens in the kingdom of heaven. They don't receive the love of God or his blessings. And all of those things are given to them by God in wrath and anger. They receive nothing from God. But aren't there some who do seem to ask? And you say to yourself tonight, they're asking, but they're not given. They're seeking and they don't receive. They're knocking and the door isn't opened. And then we need to remember the truth that our Heavenly Father does know better than we do what we need. And that truth does not mean that we don't go to Him asking. Don't use that as an excuse not to pray. He knows what I need better than I do, so I won't ask. No, but the lesson to learn there is that our Father who is in heaven, who knows what we need better than we do, won't spoil us. He won't give us things just because we ask, even if those things are bad for us. Even earthly parents understand that truth. Even earthly parents know there are certain things their children ask of them. Mom, Dad, I really want this. And Mom and Dad say, that will do you no good. Shouldn't we expect that our Father in heaven would have that wisdom too? And besides that, Jesus makes plain in chapter 6. God tells us how to pray and what things to ask for. And as a child, you ought to reverence your Father, recognize His wisdom, and ask for the things that He teaches you to ask for. Don't go to heaven treating God as if He is ignorant, treating Him as if He is foolish, as if He should cater to all of your whims and your wants. Then those who ask that way won't be given, and who seek that way won't receive, and who knock that way won't have the door open to them. And then too, there are some who ask insincerely, and that's seen in the way that they live their lives. They come to God asking for things, but there's no desire on their part to live as the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. After they pray, they are going to go and continue to lay up treasures on this earth. They're going to go and live and continue to live as the swine and as the dogs who are walking in sin. And Jesus says, I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. And I mayn't do that in this sermon tonight either. I may not say to anyone and everyone who asks, if you ask insincerely, desiring to continue in your worldly lifestyle, God's going to give you good things. No. God's grace is for those children who come to Him in faith and who ask Him with reverence and with sincerity. Lord, I don't ask these things for myself. And I don't ask these things for freedom to go live how I want to live. But I ask these things to serve thee in thy kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is encouraging us to pray sincerely, to do this frequently. Not because he's saying you have to earn through prayer the right to be given, the right to have the door open to you. But he's saying this is God's way. He will give his grace and he will give his good things to those who humble themselves and acknowledge their need in prayer, asking, seeking, and knocking. And then they will be given. They will find. The door will be opened. Is that your experience? Don't you enjoy the reality of that in your prayer life as a citizen of the kingdom? Maybe you say, I do sometimes, but not all the time. Well, for one thing, hear Jesus say to you, well, then the Lord is continuing to teach you your need and that you depend upon him. Keep seeking, keep knocking. But then, too, maybe we do need to have our thinking corrected a little bit. Remember the good thing that God gives us in his kingdom. And then don't say tonight, and I can imagine that there might be some who are tempted to say this, I've been asking for health, and he hasn't given it. I've been asking for a husband or a wife, and he hasn't given it. Or I asked for God to heal my husband, to heal my wife. But he's made me a widow. He's made me a widower. And I asked God for the health of my children. But God has given me a child with special needs, or a child with a great illness. And we need to understand that although God promises that he's the provider of all these things, and although we must pray to God for these things, God doesn't say here, I promise you always be healthy, and you live to an old age with your husband or wife. You'll never be single. You'll never be a widow or a widower. You'll never have a special needs child or a sick child. No. No, remember, this is your Father in heaven who has established a spiritual kingdom through Jesus Christ. He promises and always gives spiritual blessings. You ask him the forgiveness of sins and you seek it day by day over and over again. He'll give it. You ask him for the grace to cast the beam out of your own eye. You ask him for the grace to overcome sin in your life. You ask him for the grace to be a more godly man and husband or woman and mother and wife, or a more godly young person, child. Jesus is saying, yes, that your Father in heaven will give you. Seek, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, instruct us by this word and encourage us to pray. Forgive us for pride. Forgive us for any excuses that we have made in the past, for any weaknesses we might have in our prayer life. Lead us to ask thee humbly. Lead us to ask thee with sincerity. Encourage us by the command and the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us thy grace and lead us by that grace to life eternal. That we know thou wilt not withhold from any of thy children. For this we give thee praise. Amen. Let's sing now Psalter number 163. Satisfaction in God. Let's sing three stanzas of 163. Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.